Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO. And the weather is nice. How you like all this wind we got going? 73 is our temperature. No wind chill involved with that one. They don't have a heat index on the mezzanine today. But anyway, winds are northeast. 24 miles an hour with gusts up to 32 miles an hour. So quite an abrupt change from yesterday. Looks like tonight's going to be 49 degrees. It's going to be some good stuff. Lacey decided last Friday she was going to Colorado. I don't know whether she's hunting or what she's doing up there. But anyway, she called me last Friday and said she'd be gone today. She apologized, and I noticed on her social media she's in Colorado, and her and Brooklyn and Tyler are all there. So we'll have her back next week to hear some good stories on her adventures in Colorado. But we got some weekly hay reports. We got some weekly cattle reports. Got all kinds of good stuff. Brandon with the Elk City Livestock Auction, and also with the Clinton, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Almost said Clinton, but it's at Clinton. But they look like some. Yesterday they had 1,090 head, and there was on the steer side, there was seven of them weighing around 538, brought $1.45. From corn, there's 40 head weighing 752, brought $1.53. Cheyenne, 74 head averaging 792, brought $1.5175. On the heifer side, there was 15 from Sweetwater that average weight was 540, brought $1.33. Leedy, there was 17 head of heifers, average weight 651, brought $1.46. And from Custer City, there was 29 head of heifers, average weight 851, brought $1.33. Butcher cows was bringing up to 74 cents. Butcher bulls was bringing up to 95.50 per 100 weight. Bred cows bringing up to 1,400. Pairs were bringing up to 1,260. Elk City last Friday, they had 1,555 head. So they had a pretty good size sale last Friday in here in Elk City. On the steer side, there was 20 from Mangum, weighing 471, brought $1.68. 19 from Wellington, average weight 597, $1.58. Then some from Durham, steers weighing 786, brought $1.35. And on the heifer side, from Wheeler, there was 12 heifers weighing 484, $1.41. Willow, 20 head of heifers, 606 on the average weight, $1.32.50. And from Wellington, some 655 heifers, 14 of them, brought $1.31. Cows, butcher cows were bringing up to 78 cents. Butcher bulls, 96.50 per 100 weight. Bred cows brought up to 1560, and pairs were bringing up to 1585. So it looks like the last three or four days, the market is slightly cheaper, not quite steady, but slightly cheaper. Not too bad. Good price there. Thanks you, Mr. Hickey, for giving me those updates on the Elk City Livestock Auction and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Some reports out of Texas Panhandle here. We got steers, 105, average weight 500, 517, bringing $1.71. 88 head of steers is average 762 to, or average 777, I'm sorry, $1.52. There was 10 head, average weight 889, $1.51. So compared to last week's light test, feeder steers sold $1 to $4 lower. Feeder heifers, $5 to $10 lower. Demand moderate for feeder cattle. Cattle futures continue to lag, especially on the feeder side. Slaughter cattle prices held mainly steady. However, USDA's boxed beef prices continue to decline and through Thursday posted another week loss of $10. Steer calves were steady to $2 lower. Heifer calves steady to $5 lower. Demand light to moderate as many sales noted increased numbers of short or unweaned calves. The Oklahoma Mesonet is showing over 50% of the state is abnormally dry conditions and over 10% going into the moderate drought levels. Forecast showed warm conditions for the near future. Slaughter cows numbers increased drastically with the will increase drastically with these dry conditions, and the fall calling season is on. Slaughter cows sold steady to a dollar lower. Slaughter bulls were steady. Several sales have increased numbers of middle-aged and bred cows coming into town for sale. So, well, when I get back, we're going to talk about some hay prices. We got all kinds of news going on from cybersecurity to they figured out what caused the fire at the JBS. And we got some just all kinds of good stuff coming up. So you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offer superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
We truly are a family at First National Bank. When you have a family member that's sick, everyone knows. When something's happened within your family, when you have celebrations, we truly are a family at First National Bank and Trust. We're very proud of the institution that we work for. We're very proud of each other. It is like a family. We call it our bank family. I'm Tammy DeGarmo, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Welcome back. 72 degrees. Winds out of the north at 24 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 32, and for Nathan Brewer, dew points 39 degrees. So there you go. And that's our little weather update for this segment. Got some information I want to give out to you guys before we get into some hay prices and other things. This is information from the FSA. This came from Beckham and Greer County. The LFP, Livestock Forage Program, sign up is underway. They are currently signing up livestock producers in the LFP program using small grain acres only at this time. If you had small grains reported for grazing and own livestock, you're probably eligible. If you have not provided your livestock numbers to us in the last few months, we need to hear from you very soon, they say. If you lease the land where your small grains are planted, you will be required to get a lease from form signed by the landowner, and they have those forms available for you in the office. Important dates coming up. October 11th, the office will be closed in observing of Columbus Day. October 15th is the final day to plant small grain wheat, rye, triticale. Triticale, however you want to say it. I call it triticale. For NAP or LFP eligibility. January 15th, 2022 will be the final date to report acres for fall seeded small grains and cool season grasses. So just remember that non-insured crop disaster assistant program, which is NAP, policyholders should note that the acreage reporting date for NAP covered is earlier of the dates listed above. So keep all that in mind. Just know your final dates. For Beckham County, it's definitely October 15th to have it planted, so you qualify for NAP or LFP. If you have any questions, each county, you just call your FSA office. I wouldn't go by there. Just call them. They've been really good. Everybody's been going through hard times with this COVID stuff, and government offices are being hit the worst with regulations and restrictions. So just be calm and cool and just give your local FSA office a call if you got any questions on any of the things that I just said. So anyway, friendly reminder, this Saturday, the Greg Newton, who is a pastor at Sayre Memorial Tournament, golf tournament is this Saturday, the 25th. At the Sayre Golf and Country Club. Team entries, $300. Team limit is 18. You can buy mulligans for $10 each. Limited one mulligan per team member, so that's four per team. The lunch will be provided by the Gateway Church. So if you guys if want to sponsor any of the holes or anything, this is a great benefit. If you want to enter a team, just call Ron Newton at 580-821-0847 if you got any questions. Robert Simmons also 918-919-9061, and Eugene Trinkle 580-799-0718. I know everybody's busy, but if you get a chance and you can go out there and play and help for the cause, it's a great memorial tournament for Mr. Newton. Well, I got some national hay prices for everybody out there. Looks like we'll start out with some alfalfa prices. California, looks like the prices are slowly coming down, and I don't know why, because I looked on the drought map Monday, and they're still in severe drought. But premium alfalfa is $225 to $260. Good is $195 to $305 per ton. That's delivered. Colorado is $230 to $260 for a premium, $250 for good. Kansas, our neighbors to the north, $185 to $400 delivered. Premium, good is $155 to $200 delivered. And that's on the good side. Missouri, neighbors to the east, $160 to $250 on premium. $120 to $160 on good. Oklahoma is running around $180. I know it's going for more in certain areas around here, but on the average statewide, premium alfalfa is $180, with good being $150 to $165. And then we got Texas, $230 to $315 delivered on premium. Good is $220 to $235. That's all delivered right there. Looks like Washington and Montana are the highest overall. Montana is $350 to $400. That's not delivered. $300 to $350 on good, not delivered. And Wyoming's $240 to $250 and $200 to $210 on their premium and their good prices on some grass hay that we have on national level. We got, let's pick one. Kansas, 125 to 140 on premium. That's per ton, 60 to 150 on good. Missouri's 140 on premium grass hay, 80 to 100 on good. Texas is 160 to 330. I don't know what, and that's not got a D on it, so that's not delivered. That must have been some good stuff at $330 a ton. 130 to 275 on good, so I'm pretty sure they just forgot to put the D in this report. That's got to be delivered. Either that or somebody has got some really good stuff. Washington is 260 to 320 on grass hay. Oklahoma, Bermuda grass is going from anywhere from 140 to 160 a ton. Blue stem hay, I've been hearing, has been selling for around $120 a ton. So, hey, if anybody's got any hay they want to sell, I actually know some people that's looking for some. If you want to text in on the KECO Ag Line at 580-225-9697 with what you got and how much you want for it, and if it's good, bad, or ugly, and as Clint Eastwood would, in his movie would say, if you got some for sale, I'll pass that number on. Or if you're looking for some, text me. 225-9697. Yesterday, I talked a little bit about the fever tick information coming in from South Texas, and I had a couple of texts in wanting me to be a little more specific on my article. I'm just bringing it up, what was going on. But there's a lot of acreages. There's almost a million acres in quarantine down in South Texas because of the fever ticks. And so these cattle fever ticks are a significant threat to the U.S. cattle industry. These ticks are capable of carrying protozoa or parasites, microscopic parasites. And it's just stuff that's commonly known as, it causes stuff known as cattle fever. The orgasm, that Babesia, or however you say that, orgasm, organism attacks, destroys red blood cells, causing acute high fever and enlargement of the spleen and liver, ultimately resulting in death up to 90% of these cattle. The USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, Veterinary Service, and Texas Animal Health Commission work together and to prevent land premises from doing that. And thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate it. Get all the responses from you that I need. And animals from the deadly cattle disease that can be transmitted by the fever tick. So I said something shortly, just briefly, on when I was working down there by Laredo. We was working right on the border. And there's a trailer house, it's one of those mobile metal trailers. They was the... you too, Bill Dance. Man, my phone is lighting up. I hear you guys. Sorry about that. But anyway, there was some old dogs out there, some mean ones too. And they had a high fence around this building, and it was nothing extravagant. And it had USDA on the door. And finally, one day when I was driving by there, working back and forth on that location, there was a gentleman out there, and he was a rough cowboy, I'm telling you. He'd been down there a while. He'd been there working for the USDA for almost 4 years, and it was just him and them dogs. And they got your he told me what he did. Him and the dogs would take off for a week, 2 weeks at a time, and just ride along the river. And he was packing, because there was a lot of illegals coming across the river in that area right there, and a lot of drug trade. But he'd go through there, and every now and then, maybe once a day, maybe once every other day, he'd get sick the dogs on either a rabbit or a coyote or something down there, and he would check that animal, varmint, whatever he got, and he'd check it for those ticks, because those ticks come from across the river from Mexico, those fever ticks did. And if they found a tick, that certain pasture in that area for a certain amount of acres, what they would do is they would quarantine all the cattle in that pasture for minimum of 6 months. And then they'd get these cattle in, and they'd either rope them down and check them, have vet come out and check them. But that's how that works down there. And this fever tick is devastating on cattle herds down there, because just look at, this one county's got 300,000 acres under quarantine with 34 active traces. So, you know, that guy's not going to get to sell any cattle, calves, or anything. So, just devastating. So, that's some mean stuff down there. Well, Iowa-based Farm Services provider New Cooperative Inc. On Monday said its systems were offline to contain a cybersecurity incident that just as the U.S. Farm Belt gears up for harvest. The cooperative operates grain storage elevators in the top U.S. corn-producing states, buys crops from farmers, sells fertilizer and other chemicals needed to grow crops, and owns technology platforms for farmers that provide ag advice on the way to maximize their harvests. They are protectively taking our system offline to contain the threat, and we can confirm that it has been successfully contained. New Co-op, N-E-W is what it is, it's big letters there, but New Cooperative Inc. said in its statement, "We have quickly notified law enforcement and are working closely with data security experts to investigate and remediate the situation." Several grain storage elevators operated by them was contacted by this news agency, Rutgers. They were open. The timing of the attack is making it crucial that New gets their systems back online as soon as possible, as many farmers will start their combines this week and begin delivering crops to New's elevators across Iowa. President of the U.S. Commodities in West Des Moines, Iowa, said, "They got you boxed in the corner," he said. "Harvest is right now. This is the week that we'll be starting to ramp up the harvest, particularly for soybeans." Well, speaking of that, our local cash grain prices here in Oklahoma, wheat's at $6.52 a bushel, Milo's at $5.16, corn's at $5.13, and soybeans are at $11.99. So the new report came out yesterday after my show, and I didn't get to report it yesterday, so I'm going to report it today. U.S. corn harvest moves ahead of its five-year average. Overall, both crops' progress gained versus a week ago, according to the USDA Crop Progress Report. As of Sunday, the U.S. had 93% of the U.S. corn crop in the dent stage, versus the 89% five-year average. So it's 4% ahead of the five-year average. The U.S. USDA pegged 57% of the crop is mature versus 47% five-year average. On Monday, the U.S. corn condition ratings were marked at 59% good to excellent versus 58% last week. The USDA pegged the U.S. corn harvest at 10% complete versus a 9% five-year average. As of Sunday, the USDA rated the national soybean crop as 58% drop in leaves versus the 48% five-year average. For soybeans, 58% is rated good, excellent, versus 57% last week. And it looks like, looking at the map, that Oklahoma corn and soybean average is way above average. And Kansas and Nebraska is below average. So Oklahoma and Texas is kicking some butt this year. So they're above average, and that's good. In its report, the USDA reported the U.S. winter crop is 21% planted versus 18% five-year average. Well, when I get back, we'll talk some more ag news. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, September 20th. 1,090 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 436 brought 181. 7 at 538 brought 145. 93 at 715 brought 155. 40 at 752 brought 153. 5 at 905 brought 140.50. 5 head of heifers at 506 brought 132, 6 at 570 brought 133.50, 17 at 651 brought 146, 15 at 680 brought 129, 29 at 851 brought 133. Butcher cows were 34 to 74, bred cows 700 to 1400, butcher bulls brought 77 to 95.50, pairs were 1200 to 1260. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. All right, Brian Silk, you and Jeremy Beck, you laugh all you want. I told you I was going to throw some Howard Stern stuff in there every now and then. So just keep calm and keep listening to the show. You know I love you guys. Well, the Grand Island, Nebraska Fire Department has concluded its investigation into the cause of the fire last week at the JBS processing facility. Grand Island Fire Prevention Division Chief Fred Holtz said the fire was caused by a heater in the rendering area of the plant that was near the roof of the building. The heater is used to dry animal byproducts and vents to the roof in the rendering area of the plant. The fire spread to the roofing material, and the rendering operations were ruled a complete loss. The fire began on Sunday evening, September 12th, and burned into Monday. It was a 5-alarm fire. Mr. Odom, I got put on the spot today. Just listen to the show. You'll figure it out. But did not affect primary production areas, and no one was injured, JBS said. Two shifts were canceled on Monday, but operations were back to full swing by Tuesday. Well, speaking of meat processing and the Packers, here's some hot news out of Britain. Check this out. I mean, this can't win. Britain's meat processors will start running out of CO2, carbon dioxide, within 5 days, forcing them to halt production and impacting supplies to retailers. The industry's lobby group warned on Monday, a jump in gas prices has forced several domestic energy suppliers out of business and has shut fertilizer plants down that also make CO2 as a byproduct of their production process. The CO2 gas is used to stun animals before slaughter and the vacuum packing of the food products to extend their shelf life and to put the fizz in beer, cider, and soft drinks. Oh my God, they're going to run out of beer in London, so don't go over there visiting. CO2's solid form is dry ice, which is used in food deliveries. The CO2 crisis has compounded an acute shortage of truck drivers in the UK, which has been blamed on the impact of COVID-19, of course. And then we got this. He said his members are saying anywhere between 5 and 10, 15 days supply remain. Nick Allen of the British Meat Processors Association told Sky News, with no CO2, a meat processor cannot operate. So he's saying that the farms are going to have the animals are going to have to stay on the farm. That will cause farmers on the farm huge animal welfare problems, and British pork and British poultry will disappear off the shelves, Allen said. We're 2 weeks away from seeing some very real impact on the shelves, adding that poultry could start disappearing from shops even sooner. Allen said the government was working to try to resolve the issue and might be able to persuade fertilizer producer CF Industries to restart the UK plants. Sounds like they're in trouble. So back to my point that I say at least once a week, buy your meat, whether it's chicken, pork, or beef, locally. Have it processed locally, and you'll won't run into this problem like the Brits are getting ready to find out about. And so just buy local. We got all kinds of people around here to sell you beef, and we have all kinds of meat processors. I'm going to name them up just so everybody's – we got some new listeners. We have Shone's Meat Locker over at Canute, the Butcher Block with the Becks at Canute. We got Snayburgers at Burns Flat, Keith Snayburger. We got a new one coming in at Thomas. We got Route 66 at Sayre. We got Court's Butcher Shop down at Altus. We got one in Shamrock. There's a new one coming in Wheeler. There's just go buy you some beef from a local farmer and go have it butchered. And speaking of swine, tomorrow, Spring Creek Genetics, Mr. Jared Brown and Chad Ripito will be having a sale tomorrow and their auction. And if you want to find out anything more about it, if you got their number, call Chad or Jared about it. It'll be, you can find some pictures on showpig.com. Go to their Facebook page. It's under Spring Creek Genetics. And they'll be having a good sale today. And I was looking through those pictures of some of the hogs they're selling tomorrow. And there's some nice ones. So check it out. Their pictures, like I said, are on showpig.com from Spring Creek Genetics. Call Chad Ripito or Jared Brown if you guys got any questions, or just go to their Facebook page and you can find all their pictures. Also, some news from the FFA today. Devon Energy gave out 4 STEM grants to 4 FFA chapters. 4 Central Oklahoma FFA chapters will be able to expand science, technology, engineering, and math education, which is STEM education, with funds provided by Devon Energy. And you guys all know that there's a gentleman born and raised right here, maybe not born, but he was raised here in Elk City, Rick Moncrief, that runs Devon. And you know he's all about agriculture, so I'm sure he had a little say-so in this deal. But Chandler FFA will use the grant to purchase equipment to enhance the chapter's watermelon production and research. Students grow watermelons on a 10-acre farm, school farm, to understand the vegetable growing and the production cycle, including how different methods affect soil health and wildlife. The Meeker FFA will also use the equipment for tomato production. Hera FFA plans to acquire a new camera and lens kit along with a computer for image processing for its Life Through a Lens project. The equipment will allow students to create high-quality materials as they learn how to market and communicate about agriculture products. Marlow and Central High FFA will buy 12 basic meat cutting sets, which will allow students to receive hands-on training to earn the American Meat Science Association certification in food safety, meat selection, and cookery, and meat evaluation. A lack of trained meat cutters is one of the factors that caused potential food shortages in the United States during the pandemic. So Oklahoma FFA students and their teachers come up with some credible ways to help students and understand and gain experience in the agriculture. But there's no way we can provide all this equipment our members need without help, says J.C. Fye, executive director of the Oklahoma FFA Foundation. Thanks to Devon, today's students will have a deeper understanding of science and technology. Devin started the FFA Technology and Innovation Grants in 2019 to increase access to advanced tools being used in the ag industry and provide hands-on learning opportunities. This year, there's some more companies offering grants as well as this do. That's just awesome. Thanks, Devin, for doing that. Well, I got corn futures. Forgot corn futures a while ago when I was talking about the corn prices. Corn futures were lower in overnight trading after the USDA said the condition of the crop improved. Soybean and wheat prices were little changed. About 59% of the U.S. Corn crop was in good to excellent shape as of Sunday. Prices are also being pressured as the U.S. harvest rolls on. Soybeans were rated, as I said earlier, at 58%. Roughly 60% here they got in the report, roughly 6% of the crop was in the bin. So that's pretty good. Corn futures for December delivery declined 4.5 cents to 517 a bushel overnight with the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean futures for November delivery rose a penny and a quarter to 1263¾ a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery dropped 2.5 cents to 698 a bushel, while Kansas City futures dropped a half a penny to 699½. So that was good. And they said the inspections of the soybeans and corn were higher and week, and wheat assessments declined. So the inspections are pretty good. Looks like corn inspections since the beginning of September now stood at 601,986 metric tons, less than a third of the 1.99 million tons examined during the same period last year. Wheat inspections since the start of the grains marketing year on June 1st are now at 7.71 million metric tons. That's behind the 8.66 million metric tons assessed at this point last year. So when I get back, I'll have the Long Ranger, and I got a couple of texts in on some blue stem hay. I'll let you guys know what that's all about. So you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. A little word of advice for some of my favorite listeners out there. Chill. Just chill. It'll be fine. The show will go on. I promise you. Before we do the weather report, I got this gentleman in here from Thomas, Oklahoma. He has 1,000 bales of CRP blue stem hay for sale at $88 per ton. 1,140-pound bales. And if you want his number, it is 580-661-1051. Again, 1,000 bales of CRP blue stem hay, $88 a ton. He is northwest of Thomas, Oklahoma, and the bales are roughly a little over 1,100 pounds, 1,140 pounds. And so anyway, thank you, sir, for texting that in, and I hope you get some of that sold. And I'll pass that on to a couple other guys I know that are looking for some hay. Our long ranger forecast looks pretty decent. We got 76 degrees right now. Northeast winds at 22 miles an hour, gusting up to 28 right now. High today will be 78. Low tonight, 49. High tomorrow is 81 degrees. Low tomorrow night, 51 degrees with southeast winds switching back out of the southeast from the north tomorrow evening. Thursday, we start warming up a little bit, 87 degrees. Friday, 89. Saturday, 87. And that's the Hobart Farm and Garden weather update, Long Ranger. Tomorrow, Hobart Auction Livestock Auction Barn will be going on. Call Rex Fleming down there if you're buying, selling, give Mr. Fleming a ring. He's easy to get a hold of. They got a really clean sale barn down there. They provide lunch to you while you're in your seat. You don't even have to get up. So anyway, it's pretty pretty nice operation down there. Well, this week on the Drovers Cattle Network, Dr. Daryl Peel from the Oklahoma State University, I know a lot of you guys has heard of him. He wrote an article in there, A Brief History of Cattle Cycles, and it's a pretty interesting article. The cattle cycle is perhaps the most iconic characteristic of the U.S. cattle industry. Cattle cycles emerged as the ranching industry developed in the late 1800s. Cattle inventory data shows that the number of cattle in the U.S. was 28.6 million head in 1867. That was just right after the Civil War. Cattle numbers expanded continuously to 60 million head by 1890. That's the first cycle peak. Cattle numbers liquidated to 49.2 million head by 1896 before expanding again. This was the first of the continuing cattle cycles, which have continued since. Cattle cycles can be measured from peak to peak or trough to trough. There has been a total of 12 cycle peaks and 12 or 11 cycle troughs since the first peak in 1890. Often described as the 10-year cycle, the time between peaks and between troughs has averaged 12.8 years. Cycles have been a feature of the cattle industry regardless of whether the industry's trending larger or smaller. Cattle inventories trended higher from 28.6 million head in 1867 to 132 million head in 1975, an increase of 361% over 108 years. Just FYI, write that down in your book and remember that number, because I got a question coming up tomorrow. So remember that, 361% over 108 years. Cattle inventories have trended generally lower since 1975. The 2021 inventory of 93.6 million head is down 29.1% from its peak in 1975, but is 226.8% higher than the 1867 level. Cattle cycles reflect a variety of drivers that affect the cow-calf sector, the primary supply source for the industry. Most important amongst those drivers are changes in the calf prices that determine the cow-calf sector revenues, but input price changes that likewise impact returns can also drive cattle cycles. Periodic droughts can promote or prolong cycle liquidation and have multi-year impacts on the cattle industry trajectory. That is what's going on this year with all that drought going up on north here in Dakotas, Wyoming, Montana, Oregon, Washington, California, New Mexico, Arizona. Pretty sad country out there right now, and this is what's one of the things that's happening. Cattle cycles continue to be a regular feature of the industry for several reasons. It takes rather exaggerated price signals to encourage the cow-calf sector to change course, and the lengthy biology of the cattle production makes changes course a slow process. Perhaps most important is the interaction between production and reproduction in the cattle industry. Since cattle have offspring one at a time, the process of expanding production when inventories are too low means that tight supplies are made even tighter to retain heifers for increased production, and likewise too much supplies is made even larger in the short runs as more cows are culled and fewer heifers are retained for production. The latest cycle expansion from 2014 to 2019 was the first significant cycle expansion since the period from 1990 to 1996. A muted cycle from 2004 through 2007 resulted in very little expansion before more liquidation to 2014. Cattle inventories declined 15 of 18 years from 1996 to 2014. And I can tell you 1, 2, 3, 4 years around here that they really declined in our listening area, because everybody, it ain't been that long since we had that severe drought, and there was a lot of cattle culled during that drought here. The most recent cattle cycle began with an inventory low of 88.24 million head in 2014, with cattle numbers increasing to 94.8 million head in 2019. And last but not least, the modest cycle liquidation in 2019 and 2020 brought cattle inventories down to 93.6 million head in January of 2021. Herd liquidation is being exaggerated by the drought in 2021. It's not clear exactly how much and how fast the industry will liquidate going forward, but cattle cycles continue to be an important fundamental feature affecting the cattle markets in the United States. Well, here's some stuff on your president. The United States and the European Union have launched a global pledge to reduce methane emissions by at least 30% by the end of the decade. President Joe Biden made the announcement late last week, and they're talking about it today during the is a virtual closed-door session with world leaders on climate. The forum was held ahead of the UN Climate Conference in Glasgow, Scotland, that's scheduled for November. This will not only rapidly reduce the rate of global warming, but it will also produce a very valuable side effect, like improving public health and agriculture output, President Biden said. We're mobilizing to support, to help developing countries that join and pledge to do the something significant. Now, methane is a greenhouse gas, which is GHG, considered the biggest cause of climate change after CO2. As part of the Paris Climate Agreement, governments are seeking solutions to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. So, I have a add-on this from Professor Dale Blashey. He's a professor at the Extension and Extension Specialist in the Beef, Cattle, Nutrition, and Management from K-State University. While the goal is new, work is already underway to reduce methane by researching how to limit the number amount of manure produced by cattle in the United States. And that work is showing promising findings at K-State University. He said, we are at the K-State Beef Stocker Unit. There's one of several units located within the Department of Science and Industries, located about 5 miles north and west out of Manhattan, Kansas. And I've been by there a couple times. There's actually some pretty good pheasant hunting on around there. The K-State Beef Stocker Unit is the second home for him and his team, Sitting in the middle of the Flint Hills on the edge of Manhattan, the research being done on the cattle is already revealing major economic and environmental benefits on limited feeding, a practice that isn't new in cattle production and has been around for several years. For the better part of 5 years, our unit has focused specifically on the use of limited feeding as a means of way to reduce input requirements and provide comparable levels of production in our beef cattle. According to the K-State researcher, limit or program feeding refers to the practice of limiting calves to 2/3 to 3/4 of the dry matter they can normally consume. While limited feeding often occurs with producers having limited access to forage due to weather challenges like drought, he said the practice is producing promising results year-round and no matter the weather conditions. Limited feeding is feeding specifically to the NRC requirements, which we essentially program getting calves to a certain level of gain. So we are able to measure that performance on a weekly basis by weighing them as a pen group and adjust their intakes or diets that we feed. While limiting feeding may not be new, he says what he's uncovering could have a significant impact on the cattle industry. And he says research at K-State, funded by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, What's for Dinner? Beef, that's what's for dinner, is finding that the practice not only improves feed efficiency in cattle, it dramatically reduces the amount of manure cattle produce. What we're able to determine from our research, he says, is by doing the extensive digestibility work with our cattle to calculate the amount of manure that is produced from this to various diets, and often previous research over the last 5 years suggests a reduction in manure output of about 35%. Well, AOC will be happy. We got some gases down, pooping down 35%. So the findings of the research aren't just showing up in the data. He said that him and the K-State assistants are collecting, but the results are hard to miss when visiting the K-State stocker unit. As Balashi walked through the unit, he pointed to two pens side by side. One pen was fed with traditional diet and mostly roughage. Our limit feeding diet consists of only about 13% roughage versus the 45% on the ad lib. The other pen, which visually showed less waste from the cattle, was one fed with alternative limited feeding recipe. Over here, he said they have the more digestibility, the limited fed diet is composed of 40% of the co-product. The co-product is limit fed diet in the early distainer grills or wet corn gluten feed, and with about 38% corn. And he says the limited feeding connection is highly digestibility with a virtual difference of less waste. Because of the material the animal ingests is much more highly digestible, and as a result, there's less coming out of the animal. The two different diets are fed year-round, with the trials lasting anywhere from 45 to 120 days on these calves. Students document the observations in the pens with ear tags that are constantly collecting data. Along with our work, we're incorporating the technology to try to keep us a better job in terms of understanding what's happening in the pen setting. So there you have that on that. He said typically the cattle can clean up their bunks completely within a 5 to 6 hour time frame. And also if there's a rain event or a snow event, there's no need to clean the bunks. They've already cleaned up and stripped them dry. So a lot of research going on. You guys might think, why is he telling us this crap? These guys are serious about these greenhouse gases and stuff, guys. And I don't know if you coffee shop talk. There's all kinds of things going on. They're serious about it. So you might as well pay attention to what I'm telling you out there, because it's going to come in handy with you one of these days. And so anyway, so 76 degrees. 49 degrees tonight. Thank you, Hobart Farm and Garden, for weather updates during my show. You guys have a great day, and God bless. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It's loaded with action and suspense.
This is KECO, Elk City.